requests tonight. We add to our list. We update our list, and it's very apparent that many people known to us or near to us are under great and astounding pressures and difficulties and sufferings. And past 2 weeks we've been looking at the work of the Father and the work of the Son, presenting a case for Trinitarian cooperation in our salvation. It's unalterable. It does not change. Do I hear? Yes, there's a young woman down in the hallway for you, Miss Sylvia. In pink. Young Jasmine. And so we look tonight at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. With the concluding segment on the Spirit's work. At verse number 13, in whom, Christ of course, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the Spirit, that is, the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So we see the Spirit's work. He presents us with the word of truth, presents us with the gospel at the very outset, and if we can just simply step back and recall the wording of our covenant, first of all, and several places in our doctrinal statement, we understand that the Holy Spirit is the agent in the new birth. He is the one that, of course, guided and superintended the writers of Scripture to record exactly as God would have it, and He is also the agent in bringing that same truth, the eternal, fixed, forever, eternal Word of God to the heart and mind of the sinner. And so that when we think about that, it's probably an oversimplification that whenever or if ever the Spirit does not bring to the sinner the light of the Word, there is not a thing the sinner can do to alter that course. It is not, and again we have to shift our theological emphasis, where in modern evangelical circles it is incumbent upon the sinner, so they say, to do everything they can to seek after God. And it is something that the sinner is laid at the feet of the sinner. They must do something so as to appeal to God or appease God. The Bible presents the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit in taking the Word and applying the Word, bringing to the sinner's mind the light of the Word, and then effectually breathing into them the Spirit of life. Now, with that so much said, it is obvious from looking at verse number 13 that He preserves us. And there is just a brief discussion on the proof of the preserving work of the Holy Spirit and the extent of that preserving work. And of course, the mention in verse number 14 of the a purchase implied there is a divine transaction that's about to take place. And I want to just remind you of something you already know. It's an encouragement to me. God is not a cheap huckster in which He holds out to the sinner His redemption only to snatch it back at the last moment, or when the sinner approaches, as certain evangelicals would say, We didn't have a correct understanding of the price, and so the price is going to go up. God does not deal with us in that fashion. Let me share with you, again, looking at verse number 13, two very key words in verse 13 and 14. Tremendous impact. The word seal, of course, or sealed, and the word earnest are the two words that we would want to give consideration to tonight. When you think of the word sealed, think about how the word picture is painted this way. There is inscribed ownership with a stamp. I saw something on the television the other night where there was an infomercial that the Henry Repeating Rifle Company sometimes will put on, and they will take you into the factory, and their main point, of course, is that every part of that rifle is made in the United States of America, and it lists all the American cities from where they draw their parts. But the amazing thing about it was how they took the barrel of the rifle in progress, and they ran it through this miller, and as they were doing so, it was inscribing certain information on the barrel of that rifle. It was stamped in there, but it was rolled on by a rolling stamp, so that when it comes out on the other end, it identifies the kind of rifle, where it was made, or something like all parts were purchased and assembled here in the United States of America, to that effect. And it's right there on the barrel, clearly seen, clearly observable. So when you think about this sealing here, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed. The seal is an attestation of a mark for security on one hand, and for purposes of identification. Sometimes the marks on different valued items are placed in a hard to locate place, purposely, a secret place, known only to the owner, so that in case of any dispute that would arise, the owner and only the owner knows where the identifiable mark may be discovered, to the shame of the thief. And so when you think about the word seal, we ought to be encouraged by what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 19, where in part talks about a seal. And we having this seal, it says, the Lord knoweth them that are his by divine purchase. And the seal, the mark of his ownership, is clearly identifiable, not so much to the human observer as it is identifiable by the Spirit of God himself. I think Romans chapter 8 talks about the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs, then joint heirs with Christ. And so there is a sealing, a stamping. When you heard the gospel and you believed the gospel, and that in itself a work of the Holy Spirit inscribed in your heart, and I'll share with you why it's there in the heart, there was a mark of ownership stamped on your heart. God doesn't have any problem identifying it, but it is also, in many aspects, observable to the human eye, even though it is embedded in the human heart. And I'll come to that in just a moment. And then you think about this whole matter of the heart seal. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 22. 2 Corinthians 1:22 speaks about the seal. God, of course, who hath sealed us and has given to us, and there's the second key word, the earnest of the Spirit, where? In our hearts. Now the word earnest there in 2 Corinthians 1:22 and also in Ephesians 1 is the word arabon, and it is simply, as we would understand it, a down payment or hand money. Now you understand in a commercial transaction, maybe a real estate transaction, the purchaser in good faith presents the owner with a certain amount of hand money, a mutually agreed upon sum. Usually that hand money is non-refundable because it represents to the one who is receiving it a pledge on the one who is giving it that they will in good faith follow through with the transaction. Now, when you think about the arabon or the earnest, the down payment, the hand money, it's a pledge in advance of the transaction. And of course, that transaction is revealed to us in Ephesians 1 verse 14, talks about the redemption, the inheritance. It's a pledge in advance of the transaction made by a holy God who does not lie and who never changes. Now, when you think about that, how that works out with your salvation and mine, you take the most grievous circumstance in your life. You take the, you find some way to suffer and you maximize it times 10 and suffer like no human being ever has. And if you could probably epitomize that in one human being, it might be in the life of a person called Job. I don't think there's any other human being probably ever suffered to the degree he did. But you take Job and then multiply Job's suffering times 10. Not even that alters, not even that alters God's marvelous plan of redemption. Why? Well, because there is a mark of ownership upon every believer and a down payment, which is the Holy Spirit. And where does the Holy Spirit abide? But within. And how long will he remain there? In the Christian community, among the saved of the church age, at all times, forever, until the day of redemption. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, we have been sealed unto the day of redemption. God will never go back and chisel off or rub off that mark of ownership because he has discovered something in you that is most unworthy of his holy favors. He won't ever do that. So not even the most severe kind of suffering can alter the plan of God in redemption. It is a work of the Father. It is a work of the Son. It is a work of the Spirit. Now let's consider for a few moments the proof of the pledge. Remember, it's a heart seal. It's a heart seal. I'll give you the references, and as best I can, I'll cite them to you. If you dispute or want to just double check me, you can if you wish. First place that comes to mind is Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs 23:7, simple declaration. Now I know that it's stretched out of its context when I use it in this way, but it still applies. Man is said there to think a certain way, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And then you look at, for case in point, right out of the bat, at Psalm 15, just for a second there. Psalm 15. There is a detailed rendering of a holy man, a righteous man. And in Psalm 15:2, he is identified as he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. In his heart. Now, remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You remember the numerous occasions where Jesus had an encounter with the Pharisees or their ilk in the Gospels, and it is said in the text that they were thinking something, they were muttering something to themselves about who is this blasphemer, does he think he is? And all of a sudden the Lord comes right up and ask them a question directly linked to what they were thinking in their heart. They had not yet audibly expressed it. It was just lodged in their heart. But the contents of their heart revealed what kind of person they were. And so when we think about the proof of the ongoing work of preservation in the life of a child of God, it is to be seen in the perseverance of that saint. And again, how is that possible? How is that accomplished? Through the indwelling earnest, which is the Spirit of God. Then there is this. Think about in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 35, where it says there, and I'm going to jumble the chronology here, but give you the sense of it, and it's this. Out of the good treasures of, I'll rephrase it. A Polish translation would be, out of a good treasured heart cometh good things. Am I on the point there? Will you give me a wink and a nod on that? Okay. Out of a good treasured heart comes good things. And then you think too about Matthew 22 verse 37. The Lord Jesus himself said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now, when you think about that, and you think about the proof of the preservation or the preserving work of the Spirit of God, there is that additional corollary evidence right there in the same place. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So again, that provides proof of the preserving work of the Spirit in the ongoing perseverance of the child of God. And then you think about in Romans chapter 6 verse 17, how it manifests there. Where the righteous person is said, to obey the truth from the heart. From the heart. To obey the truth from the heart. And then you go from there to Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10. You know, the individual evangelist will take Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13, and so forth, and generally recite this to a person that they're dealing with. And it is said there that with the heart, man believeth unto what? Unto righteousness. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then in Ephesians 6 and verse number 6, in the very end of that, coming to the very end of that chapter, that book of Ephesians 6:6, again, the heart is mentioned. And there it involves doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. Now, these are just a very brief list or consideration of the proof of the pledge. And then go back to our place in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and the 14th verse. Again, mentioning the earnest of our inheritance. The down payment of our inheritance is the presence of the infinite, infinitely holy, Holy Spirit. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. No fear. No fear. Not one single storm will be violent enough to steer your vessel from arriving at last in safe haven. Not one violent storm will throw you off course. And why is that? Again, it cannot be said enough. You have the blessing of the Holy Spirit on board, and you are sealed, that mark of ownership on you until the day of redemption. Then faith is made sight. Everything that we love now, having not seen, we will love because we do see. And with one added consideration, the things that we love now, even though we don't see them, are sometimes gapped from us. But when at last we do see him, there will never be any gap between us and him. Tremendous blessing. Your salvation is rock solid, unalterable, Not even the worst of human sufferings can change that fact. And therefore, there's always something at man's lowest point in his life or her life to rejoice in. God is good for his word. He's put the hand money down. He's not going to take her back. You're his forever. Our dear Lord, would you please secure the truth to our hearts? May we rejoice in it. May it be a source of comfort to each heart today, tomorrow, and forever. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.